Blog Talk Radio.
Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. Good to be here. Just one more time. He allowed us to be in the number. One more time. Thank God that we're here in the land of the living. Somebody said it's the land of the dying, but though the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. The writer says, great is thy faithfulness. So it's good to be here. Here we are already in the first day of the month of October. Thank God for the fall. It's a beautiful time of the year. So we're here. So we're grateful to be here to get into the Word of God just one more time. So we thank God that we are able to use this vehicle to go over the airways called Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God for all of our listeners, all of our Facebook listeners and friends, all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Twitter followers and listeners, and also our LinkedIn friends that have linked up with us, our LinkedIn friends and followers. Thank God for all of you. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Blog Talk friends. It's good to be here. So today we're continuing with Word Power Part 7. Now our theme is the Godhead, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is the God who is the head of all things. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. But in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed and spoke about him coming. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. After the book of Isaiah, you never hear the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. So it means something to know who Jesus is. And I think the song, people who wrote the song, sung the song, really don't know who he is. So it's not two, it's not three gods, it's not two gods, but it's one God. And he's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. So everybody don't have that knowledge. So believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. What? The spirit of Antichrist. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? The previous subject, Antichrist. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it's all about Jesus. So you get to heaven. First of all, you got to be born again, having the new birth experience, which was revealed to the 12 apostles whom he chose. He gave them the word. In the Gospels, he calls us out. Remember, Jesus' earthly ministry, we were still under the law. That's why that Jew could be saved. Jesus said, it hath been said, but I say. Those three words change a lot. So he came to fulfill the law. So the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So after Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and went back, rose again, and stayed on the earth for 40 days, went back to heaven, 10 days later, sent the Holy Ghost, which is the 50th day called Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Ghost was sent. That's when the first church in Jerusalem was born again. That's when everything that had been revealed about his name, repentance and remission of sins, should be preaching his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, 24th chapter of St. Luke, and also man being born of water and of spirit, 3rd chapter of St. John, and other scriptures. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It was all revealed unto the apostles. And Peter had the keys, which means he had the power and he had the authority. And he opened up the church on the day of Pentecost. And he let them know that what they said, what must we do to be saved? They were pricked in their heart in the 2nd chapter of Acts. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say, the promise is unto you, you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that does include the Gentiles. And not only that, but it's the prophecy of Joel, which was fulfilled. It shall come to pass, saith God, in Joel 2:28, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants and my handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, which means preach. And also the fulfillment in Isaiah 28, and with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. So being born again of water baptized in the name of Jesus, that's the only way you could be saved, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. So you speak in another tongue or another language. That's what happened to them on the day of Pentecost. They said, here we hear speak in our own language wherein we were born. Peds, Elamites and Mesopotamia. Started naming out all these different ones. We hear them speak the wonderful works of God. So we thank God for that. And so as we go on today in our lesson, should you have a question or should you have a comment, you are most certainly welcome to call. Our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. You are certainly welcome to call should you have a question or should you have a comment. So we know on last week we left off, and remember we're still talking about word power. So we left off last week in the 11th chapter of St. John, how we dealt with the resurrection Jesus being the resurrection, how he is the resurrection, and how he resurrected the man Lazarus from the grave, and he had been dead for 4 days. So, like we said, so many things happen to the body. Like Joel said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth, and though my skin worms destroy this body, this is what Job said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. My eyes shall behold him, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. This is in the 14th chapter of Job, when he asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, will I wait until my change come? So he's talking about the Redeemer. So we know that Jesus is the Redeemer. So he was the Bible said that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So he took our place on the cross. He was made sin for us. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. It's in the Galatians, the 4th chapter. So in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Hebrew writer says, much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might take death out of the hands of him that had it. That is the devil. So he didn't take on him the nature of angels, talking about Jesus, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So this is the purpose that he came. So they had to offer offerings of blood, pigeons and turtle doves and heifers, ashes of a heifer. And these things could never take away sin. But Christ being come out high priest and a better things, that is to say of this building. So he took on sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So once in the end of the world, he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin. The Hebrew writer says, by the sacrifice of himself. And he said, it is appointed unto men to die, and after this the judgment. So he appeared to take away sins once and for all. So the Hebrew writer of 9:27 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So that's another key point. Why you have to be baptized the correct way is in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, because the blood is in the name of Jesus that takes away your sins. So a lot of people, there's no confusion when they translated the Bible. And so people say they want to say what Jesus said. No, you got to say what Jesus said, because it was revealed unto them. The gospel was committed into the hands of men. When God appeared to people, he told them, to go see a man, go see Simon. He told Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts, go down by the seashore and inquire of a man named Simon Peter. He dwelleth with Simon a tanner. When he comes, he shall tell you what you are to do. So he had to go to Caesarea. So Apostle Paul, he appeared unto him in the 9th chapter of Acts. He told him Ananias was an unknown preacher, someone said. So he had to tell him what he ought to do. So God has committed the gospel into the hands of men. So that's why he said, how should they call on him whom they have not heard? How should they believe on him whom they have not heard? How should they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach glad tithings. You can find that in the 52nd chapter of the book of the eagle-eyed prophet. We call him Isaiah. So we're going to move on today. So we're kind of getting into the feast, and you can't really do justice the Passover, because Christ is our Passover. So we're going to be getting into the 12th chapter of St. John, but you got to go back and forth because Scripture will support Scripture. You can't get it all out of one place in the Holy Writ, but you just, the letters were written to people that are already saved, and sometimes people get in talking about tongues, talking about the gifts. You can't have the gift of tongues if you don't have the giver of, you have to have the gift first before you can have a, you have to have the Holy Ghost initially be filled with the Holy Ghost before you can have a gift of the Spirit. You can't have a gift of the Spirit if you've never been born again, is the point. You got to be born again before you can have a gift of the Spirit. So we hear, moreover, brother, I would not that you be ignorant how that our, all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, yet all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Remember now, he's referring back into Moses' day when they passed through the Red Sea. See, the whole, the same as it was then, it's the same analogy now. The sea opened up. God saved them in the water. And the same water that saved them destroyed their enemies. Same way it is in baptism today. You're baptized unto death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead, even by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. We have been planted together in his death, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So you're buried by baptism. So he said, but many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. And neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And all these things happened unto them for and samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So you got to understand what he's saying here. So in other words, we believe in God, we're trusting God. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Those are the key words in there. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So that's the thing. We have to keep our body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So that's why we let people know. You can, it's just like he said, the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? As he goes on when he writes to this gifted church, the Corinthian church. So he said the body is not for fornication, or the Lord. We know fornication is sexual intercourse between two people that are not married to each other. Now, adultery, one person could be married and the other person is not married. The person who is married is committing adultery against the spouse that they are married to, and or both of them are married. They both are sinning against their spouses. But if one person is married and one person is not, the other person is a fornicator. So that's unlawful sex with a person whom you are not married to. So people are doing that, and you got to take heed to that. It's so easy to give in to the flesh, but you got to realize who you are. Body, like you said, the body is not for fornication, but the body is for the Lord. So you can't defile the temple of God. To defile means to corrupt or to make filthy. So that's why nowadays people get offended, but the truth is going to make you free. So you can't be doing all of the same things that you were doing before you were filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a difference between unclean and clean, between holy and unholy. So if you're born again, you're not going to be doing. You can't be drinking and smoking. Those and fornication, those three things. You got the Holy Ghost, you're not going to do that. You let the Spirit lead you. There is a difference. So people were getting drunk during communion time. The Apostle Paul had to go and get them straight. You don't do that. So we have to take heed to the same things that they had problems with. And these people had spiritual gifts because they had to be taught. So it's no offense. God is not hard up for people. He's not desperate. He's not going to just have any kind of people, but he's going to have a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So sometimes people say things that about people being holier than thou. And I don't know where. No, the devil had to throw that statement out. That's crazy. Because how in the world? That don't even make sense. You're going to be holier than thou. That means you're holier than God. That don't even make sense. The devil had to conjure up that lie. And so the word perfect, is people say, the word perfect means maturity. Biblical perfection deals with maturity. You can read that in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. This is why the ministry was put in the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the statue of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. There it is right there. The word grow up means mature. Grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. I've said it before. Even girls used to say that in school to boys. Two words, grow up. So you got to be mature. You say you have the Holy Ghost. So if as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we got to be mature. If you've been walking with God any length of time, you got to denounce. You can't just please your own flesh. That's what that would be. That's why the body is not for pleasing itself, but we have to do what God says. So that's why the Bible says, present your bodies. When he wrote to the church at Rome in the 12th chapter, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So in other words, I'm begging you to present your bodies living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we got to sacrifice. We get work of the flesh. So drinking, you keep doing it enough of it, you're going to get tipsy, as we say. You're going to get drunk. And then, I mean, smoking. Did Jesus smoke? No, he didn't. He didn't smoke weed. He didn't smoke cigarettes. He didn't have a pipe. He didn't smoke a pipe. And he didn't smoke a log, as they do on the golf course. We call it a cigar. He didn't do that. So that's foolishness. So people just want to do what they want to do. Some people say, I heard one preacher say many years ago, and when I first got saved in the 70s, somebody said, I would get saved, but I love my pipe. I mean, your pipe is going to give you lip cancer and all of that, let alone end up taking you to the pit of hell. So that makes no sense. So anyway, we get on here in our lesson on today. Jesus, 6 days after, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, remember last week, we dealt with that, him being the resurrection, how Lazarus was sick, and he was dead. And we dealt with the dead. We dealt with them being called sleeping. And nobody, and we dealt with, because this is doctrine, which doctrine is teaching. People always, doctrine, doctrine. Yeah, doctrine is teaching. That's all it is. Whom shall he teach doctrine? Whom shall he make to understand doctrines? Back in the book of Deuteronomy, them that are weaned from the breast, weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. It's in the 28th chapter of Isaiah and the 29th chapter. So precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's where he used the scripture, stammering lips in another tongue when he speaks to this people. So the point being, you got to pay very close attention to repetition. So we like to say we don't want to be redundant, but God is. Sometimes you have to be. You got to pay very close attention to repetition because it's very important, something you need to get a hold of. So we were talking about the resurrection. We made it. We proved out of the scriptures that there is going to be a resurrection. It's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Nobody goes directly to heaven. We proved from the scriptures about we dealt with the resurrection. We dealt with the rapture of the church, as we call it, the catching away of the bride of Christ in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We dealt with the resurrection and the change also in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And also, we still could deal with it in the book of Philippians. He's going to change our vile body like unto his glorious body, whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. So scripture will support scriptures. There's many scriptures that will let you know. So nobody goes directly to heaven. So they, at these funerals, we don't say that. Oh yeah, they're looking down on us. Anybody looking down on you? They're in the dead don't know anything. You got to rightly divide the word of the Lord. They're in a state of unconsciousness. God is going to put people back together. I don't care if they cremated you or whatever they've done. So that's the point, like we said in the book of Revelation. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So the first resurrection, Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept. Then cometh the end when he should have put down all rule and authority, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We dealt with all of that on last week. So the first resurrection is even in more parts. Those that are going to be beheaded during the tribulation period, they're not going to give in to the Antichrist, taking his number and his name. You can't buy or sell. It's in the 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation. So that behooves you to make the rapture of the church. You got to give your head. Now, people are all upset right now. What's going on? This group beheading people. People are going to be beheaded. Read your Bible. What would you want to do? Walk with God now and fly away in the rapture? Or you got to give your head? Because if you don't, you don't give your head, you take the mark, you worship in the beast, and so in other words, you're sealing yourself. You're doomed, lost forever, because you can't buy or sell during that day, except you get the mark or his name. It's going to be in your forehead or your forearm, your forehand, which is your eye, that little chip. They're smaller than a grain of rice. They're working on it right now. They call it the Vero chip. The three-digit number right now, you got to give out, when you give out your debit card or your credit card information, is a three-digit number. So it don't have to necessarily be 666, but it's a three-digit number. You can't buy or sell in that day. So John said that he saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. So that's the resurrection. God is going to wake everybody up. So I've made mention of it. I believe it's the 12th chapter of Daniel. It said, many that sleep in the dust shall awaken, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. So you died a drunk, you're not going to heaven. That's crazy. I don't know what people think. So that's why you get yourself right. Ain't no Lord have mercy on your deathbed. But you need to get yourself together, as it was in the days of temptation in the wilderness. In the 95th Psalm, the writer says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He says, harden not your heart. So the voice of God is the word of God, knowing you need to get yourself together. You need to be born again of water and of spirit. That is repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. So holiness ain't something you do the way you dress. and all of that, but it's, you can live right if he's in you. It matters not what environment you are in. You got the power to tell the devil no. Devil want to get you to do something that you shouldn't do, you can say no. You got power to do it and stand up to it also. So that's, we dealt with that on last week. So now we're going on here dealing with Lazarus. A lot of people had came to see him because they knew that Jesus had raised him from the dead in the 12th chapter. So we're going on here. They made him a supper, talking about Lazarus. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, talking about Jesus. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now I'm told this spikenard, this ointment, that this woman had anointed Jesus' body against for his burying. He said it. I'm told that Judas, who was the treasurer, we call him the treasurer, he had the bag, he had the money, he said that could have been sold for so many pence, so, you know, what they called the currency back at that time, and given to the poor. But John goes on to say that he didn't say that because he loved the poor, but because he was a thief. And we're going to get to that as we go on. But I'm told that this spikenard, this ointment, was so expensive that it was a year's wage. It was a year's wages. That's how expensive that it was. So he said very costly. So then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, as I'm getting ahead of myself, but Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So I had already said this. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. A little sidebar here. Like we say, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in this man Lazarus, because this is not just a story. Like somebody said, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go, song says, but it said, oh, it's not just a story. So this was an actual event that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Nobody had ever done that before, not in this manner. Like I said, Elijah raised a widow's son from the dead, Elisha, and he sneezed, laid on him, and I mean, it had to be God, and he sneezed seven times when he raised him from the dead. So Jesus had raised people, stopped funerals, as I mentioned on last week, and raised people from the dead, but no one had ever been brought back from the dead in this particular manner as Lazarus was. He was dead for 4 days, and you die. What keeps you alive? The Leviticus 17:11. He said, "I have given the blood on the altar for atonement of the soul. It is the blood that maketh atonement at one man." So the atonement for the soul. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. What he says, and I have given it for the atonement of the soul. So life of the flesh is in the blood. So we say the blood is running warm in our bodies. So the blood stop running warm in your bodies, then corruption is going to set in. So we're incorruptible. It's going to set in. So that blood stopped running. That's why they got to embalm you, take your blood out, and put in embalming fluid, or put you in the freezer, and so to stop that corruption from setting up. So where do the skin worms come from? I remember one time I'm a retiree of General Motors. I worked at General Motors for 30 years. So anyway, during back in the 80s, I believe it was, there was a man that we used to work with. He died in his truck, I believe, in the parking lot. I believe he was in the truck. Anyway, he was in his vehicle. So somebody said that he had maggots when they found him. So the question is, where did they come from? No, maggots don't come and say, there's a dead body, let us get in. No, they're already in you. So we got to realize who we are. And the God, he became a worm. In Psalm 22 and verse 6, he said, but I am a worm and no man, reproach of men and despise of the people. So in other words, we are corruptible creatures. So that blood stops running, then all kinds of things set up in the body. It goes through stages of corruption. And like they said, rigor mortis. All of these different things start setting in. That's why I said on last week when Jesus called Lazarus from the dead, all of those different, and he died. He was sick and died. So God knows. God knows. I won't say only God knows. If he had a doctor there who practiced medicine, they knew what type of illness and sickness that Lazarus had that took him out of here, as we would say. You know, and so when he called Lazarus from the dead, everything had to reverse because he is the resurrection and the life. Like I said, I mentioned on last week, somebody said he called him by his name. So if he hadn't called him by his name, they said everybody in the graves would have got up. So he's going to do the same thing that he did before. Lazarus, come forth. So the church is going to, that's why the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, simultaneously. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought the pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, the Lord is the true God. The God of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. So it's only one. That was his name. He was a self-existing one. He was the one that was called I Am That I Am. He was the one that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob called God Almighty. Then in the third chapter of Exodus, the sixth chapter of Exodus, he said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't know him by his name Jehovah, but by the name of God Almighty was he known unto them. So he is Jehovah, is Jesus, who has become our salvation. So some of these other gods, make-believe gods of this group of people and all that, he is the creator of the ends of the earth. You can read in the book of Isaiah. So there is no Allah. That is a lie. He, Jehovah, the great I Am, who is the Jesus of the New Testament, is the God of all flesh. He is the first. He is the last. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That's why Adam was made in the image of God. You got to have an image before you can create. So he is the creator that created the image. Adam was made in the image of Jesus Christ, who is the beginning of the creation of God. So we're made in his image. We shall be in his likeness in that day. Like somebody got a song out, oh, I can only imagine, you know, what I'll do when I'm in his presence. No, we're going to be like him. That's the only way you can be in his presence. Going to be like him. We're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Meet the Lord in the cloud, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what's going to happen. He's going to have to send his angels to gather together his elect from the under the four winds of heaven. At the appointed time, he's going to marry the bride of Christ. He is the husband man. So he made it plain. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, in the 10th chapter of St. John, I'm going to bring them. They're going to be one fold and one shepherd. He was talking about the Gentiles because he initially came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we go on here. They wanted to do away with Jesus and Lazarus because the devil is a real fool. And people laugh, and it's, you know, when we say stuff, you got to realize the devil is a piece of trash. He is a master of deception. He is anointed cherub that covereth in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel and the 14th chapter of Isaiah. He's Lucifer, the son of the morning. God set him so. He walked in the midst of the fire. He wanted to take over. That's why God cast him out like a streak of lightning. No, God didn't make the devil and Satan, the dragon, and the serpent, but God made Lucifer. Lucifer made himself the devil. Like I said before, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. How did he see him? Because he threw him out. Jesus threw him out. You got to know who we are talking about. So it's just a matter of time when God's going to command one angel to lay hold on that dragon, the devil, and put him in a bottomless pit. You can read about that in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. One angel. Going to put him in there at the command of God. Going to put him in the bottomless pit. So he is the thief. He is the as a roaring lion, Peter says. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He didn't say he was a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. So the thief cometh for nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So that's why the devil want to get you out there, make a fool out of you, get you drunk, whatever, get you blown away, get you killed. That's what he came to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. Do he hate me? He hate every last one of us. He's an enemy of righteousness. He hates God and everything that's like God. He hates God himself, the devil does, the piece of trash that he is. That's why we have to really realize who the enemy is, the devil. He will use anybody that will let him use them. The devil ain't going to just speak out of the air, but he's going to use people to tell you just what he think of you. You think you this and you think you that. You know, you yield yourself unto the enemy, who is the devil. He will use you. He will use anybody. So he entered in to Judas, as we'll see if we get far enough into this lesson. He entered into the serpent, he entered into Judas, and he's going to enter into the son of perdition, who is the Antichrist, who is going to sit in the temple of God in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, showing himself that he is God. He is the son of perdition. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. Talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about the church, talking about the prayers of the saints. Will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming, even whose working is after the working of Satan, who's with all deceivableness and lying wonders of them that receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God's going to send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie, because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. This is 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. So this is why we have to know who our enemy is. This is why we have to know who Jesus is. So the feast was for the Jews. They had many feasts. They had Feast of Tabernacles, different feasts that they had. That they had a great feast in the 7th chapter of St. John, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, which he proclaimed and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Writer John goes on to say, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the elders of the people and all, they were saying, Christ come out of a seed of David, out of Bethlehem where David was, there was division among the people. So there was division because of him. So they were saying, why haven't you brought him? This is in St. John the 7th chapter. And they said, the chief priests and elders, and somebody said, never man spake like this man. So we're talking about word power. So he goes on here, the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter O Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So this is in the book of Micah. Thy king cometh lowly, riding upon an ass, a coat, the foal of an ass. And so the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. So in other words, they were witnesses. This caused the people also met him for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Talking about Jesus. See, so we gotta, so it behooves us to believe. So see, even after his resurrection, Thomas was saying, except I put my hand in his side, see the nail prints, I will not believe, because they were all gathered for fear of the Jews. 8 days later, Jesus appeared. He walked in the room. He didn't come through the door. He was in his glorified state. So he said, Thomas. And so Thomas said to him, he said, hand them me, for spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. Thomas, put your hands in my side. Don't be faithless, Thomas, but believe. Thomas didn't have to touch him. Thomas only said, my Lord and my God. He said, you're blessed because you see. Blessed are they that have not seen me, but yet believe. So this is what we have to do. And so that's why I always try to tell people, the worst sin in the world is not lying, is not drunkenness, is not committing adultery, is not stealing, is not murder, is not theft. The worst sin in the whole world is one word, unbelief. So that's why they couldn't enter in, because of unbelief. So what did God do? Israel, who didn't, he destroyed them, that after he delivered the people of Israel, he destroyed them that believed not afterwards. Because they didn't believe, he destroyed them. So unbelief is the worst sin in the world. So they say, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is going after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. So they did this. They had different feasts that they would come and worship. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida and of Galilee, and desired to, him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was talking about himself. He's going, corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, and if it don't die, and if it does die, it'll bring forth much fruit. So we can see here how He was doing away with all those feasts. And that one feast was the feast of Pentecost. So Easter, that feast, the Passover, all that stuff is done away with. And actually, in reality, you don't have to celebrate, as we say, Easter, which is the Passover. Easter is already done. And the Jews, they don't believe the Jews, the nation of Jews, the nation of Israel, the Jews as a nation, didn't believe that Jesus, Messiah, came, or as a nation, that he was the Messiah. Now, they only believe in one God, so they keep going to that wall weeping. They keep going to that wall wailing, which is ignorant, because the veil is on their heart, which veil is done away in Christ, their own fault. So as we go on here, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Remember, he went back in the mountain. He came down. He was mad because Aaron took all the earrings and they made calves, golden calves and all. And he had been up there with the Lord. And the Lord had written on the two tablets with the finger of God the commandments. Moses threw them down. He had to go back up there. He was up there for 40 days. He didn't eat water. He didn't drink water. He didn't eat bread. He was with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He came down. His face shone. He didn't even know his face was shone. He had to put a veil over his face when he talked to the children of Israel. When the Bible says when he talked to him, he took the veil off, talking about God. He was in the presence of God. But he goes on to say, but their minds were blinded, talking about Israel, for unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Who? The children of Israel at that wailing wall. Nevertheless, when Israel turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What? When what turned to the Lord? Their heart. He goes on, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, as changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So just kind of fast forwarding a little bit. So they don't, as a nation, believe Messiah is come. So you go on here. This is now before Jesus, he's talking about his impending death here. So he goes on, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You got to understand the Father and the Son is the self same one. Now is my soul troubled, and what I say shall I say? Question, he said, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I in unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. People, therefore, that stood by heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast down. He's talking about the devil. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ cometh, that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you, walk ye while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. So he couldn't reveal too much from them at this time. So he goes on here, we go on a little farther. He believeth on me, believeth on him, not on me, but on him that sent me. So it's the self same one, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I'm come light. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me, rejected not my word, receiveth not my words, have one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That is the word of God. Like we, my father in the gospel used to say, where's the judge? You holding him in your lap. St. John 12 and 48. The word that he spake, the word of God. For I am not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So we go on here, and we'll pick up next week and more on this Passover and how he is our Passover. We will show you that out of the scriptures on next week. We're still talking about the Godhead, our theme. We are still talking about word Thanks. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, seed up into glory.